But worship will be a cure for your financial problems. It's a cure for barrenness, if women are barren. You know, there's actually a scripture that says if you worship the Lord your God, He'll heal your wombs. There'll be no one barren in the land. And if people would just worship the very one who created them, the whole reason you exist is to be a worshiper of God. Jesus said, the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord in the book of Psalms. But Jesus, when He entered into Jerusalem, the Pharisees said, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. He said, I tell you the truth, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Amen? So we need to just recognize where we're at. We need to recognize who we are and who He is. He's your Creator. And without Him, there's no purpose. There's no purpose of even existing. In fact, it'd be worse than nothing. It'd be worse than an abortion or a blunder. You just hear and then you work so hard for nothing, and by the end of the life, you amount to nothing. Amen. Amen. Now, Matthew 24... Jesus just got done telling the disciples that the temple was going to be torn down and the city was going to be destroyed. And they asked Him a question in verse 4. Excuse me, in verse 3, they asked Him a question of two things. They said, when and what will be the sign? When will this happen and what will be the sign? When? When is this going to happen, Jesus? When is everything going to be destroyed? When is the end of the age going to come? What's the sign of the end of the age? And the first thing out of Jesus' mouth, He says, watch out that no one deceives you. Now, if the first thing at the forefront of Jesus' heart was deception in the end times, then I would take a big marker and I would circle that in my Bible. I would take a strong note of that. That's the first thing that He says. Watch out that no one deceives you in the end times. Amen. And if there's anything that's more prevalent in this hour, in the information age, than anything else is lies and deception. Amen. A lot of things you hear throughout your day are lies. They're not even true. Since we're in the last seconds of the last minute of the last day, most of your preaching behind the pulpit is lies, deceptions, watered down. God calls it vomit. That's what He called in Isaiah 55. Amen. It's filth in His eyes. He said in Jeremiah 23:36, He says, each one's word becomes their own message, so you distort the words of the living God. He said, they strengthen the hands of evildoers so not one of them turns from their wickedness. The preachers are afraid to tell you that if you don't stop your sin, you're going to go to hell. And I'll tell you why. Because as soon as someone opens up their mouth and says that, if you don't like it, you go find a church that doesn't tell you that kind of truth. Because the truth hurts. God's word is truth, Jesus said. And He said, in Hebrews 4:12, He said, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Amen. He told us preachers to preach the Word. And He tells you the Word is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges. God's Word judges. Don't judge me. God's Word is to judge you. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I don't like what you're preaching. It's already judged you. So humble yourself. Amen? Amen. It says it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Amen. He sees what you do when you close your bedroom door. He sees what you do when you wake up, you're down sitting. He sees what you do when you go to bed. He sees what you do behind closed doors that no one else knows that you do. And you're going to be judged if it's ungodly. That's why we preach God's Word that is to judge you now so you can make a judgment based upon God's Word and make a decision to turn from your sin so you don't end up in the place where people get judged, eternally called hell. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything's uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Account of what? Judgment. Jesus said, in Matthew 12, He said, by your words you will be acquitted and by your words you will be condemned. James said this in James 5:12. He said, let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you'll be condemned. Jesus said, why is that? Because everything else, if you don't keep it simple and don't stick to the heart of God, it's all coming from the devil. Can you prove that with a scripture? Sure can. Matthew 5:37. Jesus said, simply let your yes be yes, your no, no. Everything beyond this comes from the evil one. Is that not the devil? Is he the evil one? Amen. That's why it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, he says, God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. Yeah. Why? Because Jesus told you're going to be judged because of the words. Yeah. James said in James chapter 4, around verse 12 and 13, he said, verse 11, he said, brothers, do not slander one another. If anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge a law, you're not keeping it but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, one who's able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? That's what he said. Amen. Who do you think you are? You say, you're judging me right now, Pastor. No, I'm just giving you the word of God. He did tell us, believers, we are to make judgments, but the judgments must not be judgments of the flesh, according to John chapter 8. Now, the Bible says don't judge. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that. When Jesus said that in context, He's saying if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. He said if someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. He said, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go on and go 2 miles with them. And what he was saying is don't retaliate and stand on God's place of his throne and retaliate by placing a judgment on that person. Leave it in God's hands is what he was saying in context. You have an ability, according to the word of God, if you know God's word, to make judgments about all things, he says. But we don't judge according to the flesh to condemn people. We don't judge according to the flesh to have a fault-finding spirit. But we are to analyze situations and say, this is of the Word of God or this is not. That's what he's saying there in Hebrews 12. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It judges between the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. The joints and marrow is representing the flesh. You can take God's Word, pour it into your spirit, and every situation that comes before you, you can analyze that situation through that Word and say, that is not of God. Amen. That is evil. Or you can say, that is of God and that is holy. There is no middle ground. If it's not holy, get it out of your life. Why? Because without holiness, the Bible says over and over and over, without no holiness, no one will see the Lord. Amen. But Jesus is enough. No, you just want to add Jesus to your sin. It's not enough. You got to get it out. The Bible says no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. Amen. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. 1 John 3:6. This is a message we heard from him and declare to you, God is light, in him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. 1 John 1:5-7. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's the right of a believer. But there's also another obligation to the believer. He said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, he said, therefore, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed of pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises is faithful. He said, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Amen. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some get in the habit of doing. Mm-hmm. That's going to church. Amen. He said, but let us encourage one another in all the more as they see the day approaching. And then he gives you an obligation about sin. He says, if we deliberately keep on sinning, that means you know you shouldn't do it. That means you know you shouldn't hang out in clubs as a Christian. That means you know you shouldn't smoke dope as a Christian. And can you give me the scripture? He says, be sober-minded. Are you sober-minded when you're high?
Nope.
No, 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 no. He says, be sober-minded. He says it multiple times.
Amen.
You know that you shouldn't be drinking alcohol as a Christian. Can you give me a scripture? Yes. He says, I'll neither eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything else that will cause my brother to fall. Romans chapter 14, 21. He says, do not get drunk on wine, Ephesians 5, 18.
Amen.
Which leads to debauchery. You know that you shouldn't swear as a Christian. He said, let no filthy language proceed out of your lips.
Amen.
Ephesians 4, 29. You know that you shouldn't criticize people like we just quoted from James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 earlier. Slandering your brother. You know that you shouldn't lie. All liars will partake of the lake of fire, the Bible says. They will take it. I'm going to get away with my line. It's only a little white line. No white lies. They're all complete darkness.
Amen.
I'm going to get away with it. It's not that big of a lie. If it's a lie, it's a lie. Well, I just exaggerated the truth a little bit, Pastor. It's not a big deal. It is to God. He's got a real strong attitude for truth. God loves truth. He doesn't like lies. He says all liars will partake of the lake of fire. It means what it says. It's like the rest of the Bible.
Amen.
But these are all parables. No, they're not. The Bible means what it says. God's smarter than you are.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
God's more intelligent than we are, and he knows how to communicate in a way that anybody can understand. A four-year-old can understand the Bible, but I'll tell you why a lot of adults don't understand the Bible. It's because their heart condition. They refuse to let go of the sin, and it blinds. It says that God of this world, little g, the devil, blinds the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into their hearts. 2 Corinthians 4, 3-4. And Satan's very subtle. He says, I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So Jesus is explaining to them here, and we'll go on to Hebrews 10, 25, since I told you I'm going to quote it. He says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive the knowledge of the truth, doesn't that sound like somebody born again? Somebody to accept, acknowledge the truth? He says, if you deliberately keep on sinning after you receive the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. And then make sure you understand it fully. He goes on and gives you an Old Testament example. He says, anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who's trampled the Son of God underfoot, who's treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who's insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's in your New Testament.
Amen.
Jesus said, not to fear men. Luke chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, he said, I'll tell you who you should fear. Fear him who after the killing of the body has the power to destroy soul and body in hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Why? Because the book of Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Amen.
We bind the enemy in Jesus' name every hindrance. Who's got problems with your foot? Your foot's bothering you. Who is that? What do you want me to do with this, Lord? He told me to tell you we're going to pray for you. Make sure you stick around to the end of the service. We're going to pray for your feet. You too? Hallelujah, Jesus. Watch out for deception. And he goes on and he tells them this. He says in verse 12, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now, there's just a few things I want you to get out of this. He says in verse 32, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things, you know that he, it says in your marginal rendering, is near. He is right at the door. I tell you the truth, this race or generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. What is he talking? What things happen? Deceptions? Nation will rise against nation. There will be wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, roaring and tossing of the sea. You just turn on a YouTube video about end time events and just look at the news clips around the world, what's happening. Look at a graph of the exponential growth and rate of the earthquakes in the last 20 years. They're off the charts compared to what they were in the 80s. Jesus said there'll be an increase of earthquakes in the last days. There's plenty of them going around every day. In diverse places, he said, and a lot of these earthquakes, it's not the fact that the earthquakes are happening so much, but it's where they're starting to happen. Where they're happening. So we need to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Amen. He says in verse 36, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah. Now, to understand what it was like in the days of Noah, all you got to do is read Romans chapter 1, 18 to the end of the chapter. He says that they basically forgot about God, and it went from them not giving thanks to God, it progressed to sexual perversions, and it went all the way to homosexuality. Amen. That's what it was right before the flood. I just watched a YouTube clip of End Times, and they were reading a book. I think the book's name is I Am Lily. And the author, I don't know if it was the author or some lady, had all the kids surrounded around, and it was a big event, and they had them all come to the library, and she's reading this book, and it's about that little kid that they made the big deal out of that had a sex change. Transgender. Satan's got a pulpit. Satan has a pulpit. He's got a large pulpit. Not only does he have the social media, the television, the magazines, the movies, Hollywood, the music, Amen. But now he's got teachers that are liberals. And they're enforcing forcefully this indoctrinating your children with this filth. Amen. To tell you should feel sorry for people who want to sin. No, you bring them Jesus is what you do. Amen. These people are lost their spiritual perception and they're dulled, it says in Ephesians 4:17. You know, it says they parade it like Sodom, their sin, it says in Isaiah. They parade it like Sodom. You know, they have those gay pride parades now. They parade it like Sodom. And Gomorrah.
Amen.
It's not okay. The doors are open. They're welcome to come here. But there's a requirement to get married in this church, just like there is in any church. You got to be a member for 2 years to become married in this church. Amen. A member of the church. That means you give tithes. That means you give offerings consistently. That means you have consistent attendance. That means you're doing the things that we require to become part of this particular church. Nobody can throw me in jail over it. I will not marry anybody who's not a member, whether they're homosexual or straight. Not get married in this church. Must be a believer, and I will qualify what a believer is. Amen?
Amen.
Why are you talking about this? Because there's going to be a whole lot of persecution about ready to rise in the United States. Get ready. Does anybody have the giving statement? I sent a prophecy out last year with the giving statements. Has anybody still got it? I don't think anybody still got it. But I prophesied dozens of things, and I bet you if I read over it, every single one of them has come to pass.
Amen.
Every one of them. In the last year. I prophesied what would happen over the year. And if you go back, if anybody has that letter, you go and read it, and you'll say, yeah, that did happen. And I'm telling you again that now persecution is going to get more and more severe, and we need to be prepared for it. Jesus said before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They'll hand you over to kings and governors and all on account of my name. Amen? He said, but don't worry about beforehand what you're going to say or how to say it. He said, at that time, words will be given you. It will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So you don't have to fear. But you should be doing what you should be doing. What you know you should be doing. So you're ready and you're strong enough. Because Jesus said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And the reason he said that is because I told you this, and it's come forth in prophecy that because we're so close to the end times, there's a separation coming between the sheep and the goats. You're seeing church attendances, they're down as a whole. And the reason there is because the people are not finding what they need in the church, so they're running to the world to try to quench their thirst. They're trying to quench and they're trying to fill their spiritual stomachs and fill that hunger. What do they need? They need to be told to leave their sin. Can you prove it with Scripture? I sure can. He said, fools speak folly. Their hearts are bent on evil. They practice ungodliness and spread error concerning the Lord. The hungry, they leave empty. And from the thirsty, they withhold water. That's Isaiah 32, verse 6. What is he saying? Well, the true prophets in the Old Testament were contending with the false prophets, and the false prophets were telling the people pleasant things. Thus saith the Lord, prosperity will come to your home. Thus saith the Lord, God's blessing is all over you. Thus saith the Lord, all will go well with you. Thus saith the Lord, we are God's people, we will not go into captivity. And then you had Jeremiah, you had Ezekiel, you had Isaiah, and all the prophets stand up and said, you need to repent from your sin. Or you're going to end up in destruction. They warned them. Says Jeremiah said, for 23 years I warned you that you're going to go into captivity if you don't turn from your sin. The Bible says it all. The one prophet got up and said, blah, 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 blah. Everything's going to go great. And Jeremiah says, amen, brother. Let it be so. But let it be known to you that all the prophets from before me and now have always prophesied doom and destruction for the people. But let the prophet who prophesies peace, he will be declared a prophet only if his prophecies come true. And within just a few months, that man was dead. God placed a judgment on him. It's going to start happening again. People are going to start falling dead behind the pulpit. In fact, it's already happened. I heard Kenneth Hagin Sr., told the man to stop doing something. He didn't do it, and within a couple weeks, he fell over dead behind the pulpit. You're going to start seeing it happen more and more. These liars. They don't love you. It doesn't sound like you love me. You're yelling at me. Some of you are living in sin. You know, we got Ireland. There's a countless number of people from Ireland listening. This is a liberal place. God draws them to our website because we've got the words to set them free from hell. Because anybody that lives in deliberate sin, they're going to hell if they don't repent. That's what the Bible says. God's grace. Tell us more about God's grace. Tell us more about God's grace. God's grace is sufficient. Not for you. It's not if you're living in deliberate sin. It won't cover that. I just quoted you Hebrews 10:25. He said it's insulting God's grace. What God's grace does cover is a believer who's surrendered their whole life to Jesus. They've taken up their cross. They made a choice to turn from their lifestyle of sin. And they may struggle with things. But their heart is towards God, and they're fasting, they're praying, they're giving, they're reading their Bible, and they're crying out to God for help. He will walk with that one. But the one who just sneaks around and has got one foot in the world and does all these things and says, oh, God, forgive me. Adultery with the world, he calls it. Adultery. You try that with your wife. Go sleep around on her and see how she likes it. Not going to work, would it? Not going to work. There's no real intimacy. There's no real relationship between a husband and a wife. If the wife finds out that the husband's sleeping around, or vice versa, the wife's sleeping around. That's adultery.
Amen.
The covenant has been broken. It's the same thing with a believer. He calls us the bride of Christ. If you've got one foot in the world, which is unpure, it's impure. It's darkness. The world is full of darkness. If you've got one foot in the world, and you stick a little toe in Jesus, say, Jesus covers my sins, it's adultery. Stop calling darkness light.
Amen.
He says, woe to them who put evil for good and good for evil. And light, darkness for light, and light for darkness, and bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Isaiah 5:20. Woe to them, he says.
Amen.
Amen. So what are we going to do? We're going to stop flirting with God, and we're going to get married to him. When are we going to do it? We're going to do it right now, sitting in your chair. You're going to make a choice to let go of the drugs, the alcohol, the sleeping around, the lusting after women, all of it. It's done. Lusting after men, it's done. Smoking, drinking, swearing, all of it. It's all done. Shut the TV off. Take a sledgehammer to it. You're just pumping filth into your spirit that will lead you down the wrong path. Can you prove that? Absolutely. You know, it's a fact that your life is going to move in the... in the direction of your most dominant thought. He says to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. It's okay. No, it's not okay. Psalm 101:2. I will set no evil thing before my eyes. God says, in Romans 6:19, he says, I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. He says to hate what is good and cling to what is evil, it says in your Bible. Hate it. Hate it. Deuteronomy 7:26 says, neither shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be a cursed thing like it, but you shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. What is that? The television. You watch Simpsons? The Family Guy, that Family Guy is a perverted Family Guy. They mock Jesus. It's a bunch of filth. Call it darkness. It's filth. It's okay. No, it's not. It says over there in Romans chapter 1, right at the end, he says, not only do they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. Every time you watch that show, and it does not, you don't allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. Every time you say, this is funny, you are approving of it.
Amen.
Therefore, God does not view you as a Christian. He views you as one who's still in the world.
Amen.
I'm a Christian. Don't call yourself a Christian till you separate.
Amen.
Can you prove that with a scripture? I sure can. He says, you are once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. You were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. He says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Amen? He says, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Sanctifications mean you made the point to separate. That means you went through your house and threw it all away. Most claiming believers never even did that, and I have no authority based upon the Word of God to even say that they're saved. Doesn't matter what we think. Doesn't matter what our opinions are. We have to line up with the book to truly be saved. God's word is law. There's a preacher of the law up here again. It's law. James calls it law multiple times. Law, 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 law. What's the matter with law? You're going to have to obey God's moral law for eternity. And if you're a rebel, you're a lawless one, like he calls the Antichrist, then why would you want to go to heaven when there's all sorts of obedience there? Amen? God's grace is his unearnable, unmeritable favor bestowed upon you by faith. That means you don't deserve this salvation. And we're not under the Ten Commandments, we're not under the law of Moses, but we are under the law of love, and the Ten Commandments are encompassed within that. He took his laws and wrote them on our minds and wrote them on our hearts. We live by nature. In other words, since you're born again, it used to be natural when you had the nature of the devil to sin. Now it should be natural for you to obey God, but the reason for most Christians it's not is because they're not really saved. They've never separated from the world. They've never picked up their cross and died on it. I'll tell you why. Because they don't really believe that God means what he says. But every person will find out one day that God meant exactly what he said.
Amen.
God, they will find out one day that that preacher that kept on telling them to turn from sin, that was the Holy Spirit speaking right to them, said if you don't stop, you're going to wind up in hell when they end up at the judgment and they find themselves burning forever. What kind of preaching is this? This is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He said the Holy Ghost has been sent to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. That's the purpose of the Holy Ghost, to convict you of your sin.
Amen.
Not to tell you you're okay when you're in your sin. He said, let the prophet who has a dream recall the dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully, declares the Lord. He said, what does chaff have to do with wheat? Chaff is the garbage. And the threshing floor, the wheat is what you want to eat. He says, what does chaff have to do with wheat? He says, is not my word like a fire? And like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces? The same thing he said over there in Hebrews. It's a sword. It judges us. It's a fire. It burns within us. It consumes us from the inside out. Is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces? He says, therefore declares the Lord, I'm against the prophets who steal words from one another supposedly from me. And that's what most of your preachers are doing today. They listen to everybody's message when they should be reading one book. One book. He didn't tell us to listen to anybody else's teachings over and over. There's a time to be under teaching. But he told us to meditate one book is what he told us to do. Joshua 1, 6 through 8. Psalm 1 and 1. James chapter 1, verse 25. The prophets who steal words from one another, supposedly from me. He said, yes, declares the Lord, I'm against those prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare that the Lord declares. He said, indeed, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams, declares the Lord. They tell them and lead my people astray with their reckless lies, yet I did not send them or appoint them. They do not benefit these people in the least. And what he's referring to, benefiting them, is turning them from their sin. That's what our job is, to turn you from sin, to expose your sin, to help you to get free. Because you must be free. Jesus paid a price for you to be free.
Amen.
Jesus wanted us to recognize the signs of the times. He said when a cloud rises in the west, you say it's going to rain, and it does. When the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. He says, you hypocrites, how is it that you know how to interpret the weather? They can interpret the weather like a weatherman, but they can't interpret the signs of the times. Why are you so strong with this, Pastor Dan? Because the rapture is about to happen and most believers are asleep. It wouldn't matter if Jesus himself came down off the throne and slapped you upside the head with the Bible and says, wake up, stop sinning! Because you wouldn't even be able to see it. Listen to me plead with you. You got to stop all sin. It's got to stop today. Because the time's going to come when the door's going to be shut. And you're going to stand outside pleading, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, I tell you the truth, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Away from me, all you evildoers. Unless you make a choice. You've got to make the decision. It's your choice. You sin, just say it right now. Say, when I sin, say it with me. When I sin, it's because I want to sin. And if you will believe that, that's your first step to recovery. The reason people sin is not because it was too difficult. The reason people sin is not because someone made them sin. The reason people sin is not because the temptation was too good. He said, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you're tempted, He also provides a way out so you can stand up under it. The reason that people sin is because they want to sin. God made me do it. No, He didn't. He said, when tempted, let no man say, God has tempted me. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire. That means he wanted to do it. Amen. He's dragged away and enticed. After desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. You got to make a choice to get rid of all of it. If you've already done it, praise God. But if you haven't, God's giving you another opportunity for you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. He tells you, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He says, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. It's funny. No, he says to turn all that filth off and recognize. He says, call it darkness is what he's saying. It's darkness. Change your laughter. What you think is funny, he says, change it to mourning. And change what you think is joyful, he says, change it to gloom. Recognize darkness. Call it darkness. If you would not say that it's holy, if you would not say that it's spotless and pure, then it's evil. Call it evil, amen? Amen. It's evil. I'm going to go home and watch TV. Go on and do whatever you want. You have a right to do that. I'm just telling you what God wants you to know. Amen. It's up to you. You're going to stand account for every word I spoke to you that you refused to obey. That's your choice. The blood is off of my hands now. I've told you what you needed to hear. Amen. How do you need me to be? He says, Jesus is not weak with dealing with you. He's strong among you. He says, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. He says, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He said, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? He says, a man that says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:4. He says, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. 1 John 3:6. He says, 1 John 3:7, he says, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil's been sinning from the beginning. For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. In the next verse, 9, he says, no one who is born of God or born again will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he's been born of God. That's deliberate sin. You know? Jesus said, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. That's the judgment. Is it hard to obey God? No. Because as soon as you make the decision to obey God, He comes in and regenerates your spirit. He says you're born again through the washing and rebirth of the new regeneration by the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5. You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23. And God's word is eternal. Once you become born again, it's easy to obey God. You won't want to sin anymore unless you yield to the flesh.
Amen.
Is it worth it? It's worth it. Because you get Him.
Amen.
What about all the suffering? Because the devil's trying to tempt me and my friends mock me. Don't worry about it. Because if they don't stop, he says... to just live a holy life in front of them so they can be ashamed of their slander. I don't want my friends are going to pick on me. Don't worry about what your friends think. Anybody who'd pick on you is the devil. The biggest loser in the universe is the devil. Why would you want to associate with devil people? Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's provided streets of gold, jasper walls, gates of pearls, delicate foods to eat, it says in the Old Testament. He's provided opulence for you.
Amen.
Heaven forever. Never, no more crying, no more curse, no more pain, no more shame, none of it. And those people that serve themselves are going to be in a place where he says to be cut them into pieces and throw them into utter darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Everyone will be salted with fire. He said the place where he says if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. He said if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. He said if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell where the worm never dies. And the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Have salt within yourselves and be at peace with each other. Mark 9, 43 through 50. He says in Galatians 6, 7 through 10, he says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. I'll just wait till my deathbed. He said, you're not going to get away with it, is what he's saying. You already sold the field. You're going to reap the harvest of your destruction. The people that think they're going to deceive God and cheat, God cannot be mocked. They're not going to cheat Him. It's not going to work. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. He says, let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. What are we going to do, Pastor Dan? We're going to pray a prayer together. We're going to get our hearts right before God. And when you leave this place, you're going to be born again if you make that choice. I want everybody to pray this prayer from your heart. Just repeat after me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I want you to mean it. And I want you to make today the day that you get serious about the things of God. I can't stress how many times the Bible says we got to be pure. He says, no one who's impure or sexually immoral or impure or greedy. He said, such a man as an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Empty words are those words in your head telling you're okay. It's not okay. We got to be pure. We got to be holy. He will help you. But you need to call upon Him and ask Him for help. You can't do this on your own. Otherwise, we wouldn't even need God. Everybody say these words from your heart out loud with me. Just say, God. Say it out loud. Say, God. I forgive everyone.
I ask you now
to please forgive me for all of my sins.
For all impurity,
I surrender my life.
I surrender my spirit,
my soul,
my body
to Jesus.
I choose this day
to turn from all sin,
all sin that I know of,
and surrender my heart to Jesus.
Forgive me, Lord.
I confess Jesus
as my Lord and Savior.
I confess Jesus as my master.
As my master.
Help me to live for you.
Help me to live for you.
Give me grace, Lord.
Give me grace, Lord.
Give me strength, Lord.
Give me strength, Lord.
I choose to follow you.
I choose to follow you.
I know that I can't do it on my own.
I know that I can't do it on my own.
But I know that you're there to help me.
But I know you're there to help me.
You're my ever-present help in time of need.
You're with me in trouble.
You're with me in good times.
You're my answer.
Not my problem.
I yield to you, Holy Spirit.
Show me the things that are in my life
that displease you.
Help me to be clean.
Help me to be pure
from this moment forward. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, today's the day. He says, now's the time of God's favor. Now's the day of salvation. Now's the time to go forth and to go home. And if there's anything you know that you shouldn't have in your house, just throw it away. I can remember the day that I made the choice to quit playing games with God. And I went through my house, and everything that I considered not clean, I asked, I was honest with God. I was honest with myself. And I said, God, show me what it is that you don't want. And there's a few things, some movies, some music, some things he told me to get rid of. And I threw it away and I didn't notice it at first. But the next day I woke up and I felt like 1,000,000 pounds had lifted off my shoulders. And from that day to this, I don't know before that if I ever really truly was saved. Because that was the day that I truly felt a significant change. And I knew that things were different. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, I'll be there to catch you if you fall. I never leave. I never forsake those who give me their heart, who give all of themselves to me, says the Lord. I am your strength. I am your grace. I am your righteousness. I am your peace. I am the Lord your God who created you, and I'm there with you in times of trouble, in times of need. I will strengthen you. I will give you the ability to live for me, says the Lord. But you must choose to pick up your cross to follow me and surrender your whole heart. I'm the one who sets you free. Everything you long for, everything that you need is all found in me, says the Lord. So allow me to work within you what's pleasing in my sight. I will use you for my glory. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I have plans to give you hope. I have plans to give you a future. So trust in me, says the Lord. Trust in me, says the Lord. Surrender to me, says the Lord. There's no one else that can save you. There's nothing else that can satisfy. It's all found in me. So I want to encourage everyone to be here tomorrow for prayer. Prayer starts at 6:30. We're going to have we normally teach after about an hour at 7:30. We start teaching if you can make it. You know, as Christians, the best thing you can do to be saved is just start to read your Bible every day. David said, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's his word that will give you the strength to live for him. Even if you're, let's just say you're listening to me today and you say, I'm not ready to let go, Pastor Dan. Just listen to me now. Just start reading your Bible and see what happens. Every day. Just start to read a chapter. I can't read. Go on it. Go buy it on CD. Put it on your phone. Listen to it on Bible Gateway. You can play it. It plays it audibly. Just start listening to a couple chapters. Take 15 minutes a day. When you're walking to and from school, when you're on the bus with your headphones on, when you're on the toilet, before when you're brushing your teeth, there's time to do it. Just start listening to the Bible. I'm not going to stop sitting. Just listen to the Bible, and I'm telling you that that you cannot say the same. It will change you. God's word is supernatural and His word does not return void. If that's where you're at and you refuse to obey God, I'm telling you, just start reading His word. But I'm ugly, I'm dirty. Just start reading His word. And He'll start to set you free one day at a time. That's what I did. Until the day came when His eternal, immutable seed entered into my heart and I knew that I had to make a choice. So we'll see you guys here tomorrow night. Father, I pray for everyone here that You'd bless them, and I pray these words would stick with them. And if they made the decision for You, I pray You'd help them to live for You. And if they've made a decision to live for themselves, Father, I pray they would only be able to hear My words in their head until they repent and give their hearts over to You in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Be blessed. We'll see you here tomorrow. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming out. We appreciate you. We love you. We pray for you every day.